Welcome. This is the talk on building up marriages. Thanks for coming and being part of it. So Tim and I are going to teach this together. And the concept here, the idea here behind is how do we help others? At least that's what I hope you kind of thought about when you signed up for this. How do we get into ourselves into a spot where we can encourage others and strengthen others? And what does that look like as we think about building up the marriages and the churches around us, in the relationships around us, that kind of a thing? Okay? So I'd like to start with a question. I want this to be fairly interactive. So let's start with this question. Okay? What do you think of when you think of marriage mentoring? What comes to your mind as we start thinking about the idea of marriage mentoring?
Encouraging others.
Okay, encouraging others. Be a key piece of that.
Sharing experiences.
Sharing experiences. Good. Okay, so we get this little bit of this idea of the ups and downs, right? Helping others through ups and downs. Great thoughts. What else?
Listening
would be a key piece of any type of mentoring or any type of helping. What else? That concept of being a safe place. Yeah. Good. What else?
Accountability.
What topics come to your mind? How many of you have, let me kind of just probe a little bit of understanding here. How many of you have helped, would consider yourself to have been in a marriage mentoring type situation somewhere in your life? Okay. About half to two thirds. And sometimes, I mean, it's actually a valid question, right? Because sometimes you find yourself in those roles and you don't really even realize it. Or you don't even know how you got there, right? But it kind of emerges at this idea of like, well, someone maybe starts to talk to you about things and you just listen and it kind of, you know, builds at that point. Tell me some topics or what are some ideas that you, what are some topics that come up when you think of marriage mentoring?
In-law relationships.
In-law relationships. They say that's one of the top three.
Forgiveness.
Working through forgiveness with you. Yeah, good. What else?
Differences in how you think.
Differences in how you think. Yeah, that idea of opposites attract, right? Sometimes that's a key concept. Well, then that usually brings along a little bit of a navigation that has to happen at times with that.
Parenting.
Parenting's a big deal. That whole idea of transitions, right? When you are transitioning with someone through different things, right? You know, those ups and downs can be, right? Are usually centered around big transitions in somebody's life.
A lot of how-tos.
A lot of how-tos where you're getting into that piece of like, how do we walk through this? Yeah, in a little bit different way. Good. Good. Let me encourage great thoughts, great ideas here. And we're going to get into some, we're going to talk a little bit about the opportunity, and then we're going to get into some of the, you know, just some different ways to start and get into it. And we'll end with kind of highlighting some resources that we have available for you, at least at ACCFS at this point. But let me start just a little bit with this. You've maybe seen this before. It's a diagram that speaks to the idea of relationships, right? And in relationships in our life, you know, all of us are part of kind of a larger community or a larger group, right? And within that larger group, you've got some smaller, maybe companions that you sync with a little bit more, that you're more familiar with. They become people that you would maybe go to talk to. And then from that, usually there's a smaller group that merges into this idea of accountability. More intentional type relationships. And then from that, even above that, you can sometimes in your life have that very core group of a few people who really speak into your life, right? There's a common theme, though, is intentionally and trust kind of go up. These relationships will progress, right? What takes you from community to companionship to accountability to mentor? I would argue that it's that idea of trust. It's that idea of time, and it's that idea of intentionality. And when I think about the mentors in my life, they're the people that we have intentionally trusted and reached out to and talked to over and over again. We literally, you'll hear that idea, we literally go through life together. And I want to argue, frankly, that that is extremely countercultural. Extremely countercultural. Let me give you an illustration that someone showed to me, which I think is really, really powerful. So if you think, if you kind of view this just as society and what modern society looks like, kind of the sphere, it seems like what is happening, and I think Matt touched on that in the earlier piece, looking at what society is doing. It seems like we have created little bubbles in society where we exist in. The particular person I was listening to as a TED Talk on this was using the example of the iPhone, right? You walk somewhere and a person is on their iPhone and the headphones are in and they're in their own little bubble. And you don't really break into their bubble. And when we're really content to do that, and it can be good things that we are engaged in, right? It can be good music. It can be good podcasting. It can be good teaching or something that we're listening to. But the idea is that we have created this bubble and kind of shut things off. I mean, what is your natural reaction when you're maybe sitting in a restaurant or whatever, and someone is over here and they're with their headphones on? What are you going to? Are you naturally going to go up and kind of tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, let's talk, or whatever? I think about this in the college campus. We do some college ministry still, and you walk through the college campus. Everybody's got earbuds in as they walk from class to class. No one's talking to each other. They're all earbuds in, right? And I don't know, maybe that's been around for a long time. It seems like society is increasing there's probably a word for that, but increasing kind of the segmentation or the fragmentation of society. I want you to contrast that with this, right? Just that open sphere. And the idea that relationships allow us to interact and be open with each other. I think the opportunity, the real opportunity that we have that gets me excited as I think about a church context, and I think specifically about an apostolic Christian church context, a denomination context that values relationship or seems to have valued relationship over generations and over the years, I think about the opportunity that we have to really live out what Romans challenges us to, that we are to be members one of another, true members one of another. And frankly, what can be a little bit scary when I think about that is this can kind of repulse me a little bit and say, well, but I like my space and I like my time and I like my evenings. And there's a talk on boundaries and balance, right? That's going to be tomorrow. There's a couple sessions. Craig and Jackie are going to be here. They're going to be talking about that. And that's a key talk, an important talk. But there's also, I think, a place where we think about how do we engage in relationships. So it's an opportunity, and I am thankful for each and every one of you that's shown up here to kind of talk about this. I want us to leave a little bit encouraged and maybe purposed to think about how do we do that and where do we get into that. And I'm going to turn it over to Tim, and Tim's going to go a little bit deeper into what this could look like and some of his experience over the years.
Thank you, Arnhem. One of the things as I meet with couples is I ask them a lot of times, do you have a mentor in the church? Do you have somebody? And I personally believe it's critical that a young couple, when they're starting married life, have somebody in their life in the church that they can reach out to and talk about stuff. I remember the first time I was ever approached with it, Deb and I didn't know what to think. We didn't have any clue of what mentoring was or anything like that. But somebody took us out and they just said, hey, we just want to go out and talk. And we sat across the table and it was a young couple that had been married about a year. And they looked at us and they said, is this normal? And they just wanted to talk about, is this normal? And it was things that they wouldn't talk about with mom and dad or whatever, but it was just stuff that they just wanted to know, is this normal? And so as you think about it, this slide starts off, I think it's really important. It says marriages are to reflect the gospel to others. What does that mean? We use the word the gospel, and what does it mean that our marriages reflect the gospel? What do you think that means? Yeah. So first off, the gospel is good news, right? So what is the good news? What's the good news about it? Does that mean my marriage is perfect? What is the good news? What does it mean when our marriages reflect the gospel?
I think like Jesus gave himself for us, that totally committed that we have that servant attitude towards our spouse.
I think you just built off of what Brother Matt showed us earlier, right? Is that our marriages are reflecting Christ in the church. And when we say that, sometimes we have this pristine view of Christ in the church, but there's been times in my life when all I have known is that Jesus loves me. That's all I've known, because I haven't been in a place that is very beautiful. And so as we think of the marriages reflect the gospel, what other ways does the marriage reflect the gospel?
At that very beginning in Genesis, one of the core principles of marriage is to be a helpmeet to you. If that's really truly your focus, and people see that your number one goal is to help your spouse get to heaven, it reaches that gospel out to others, right? You have that same desire for them.
Yeah. Helper. What else about the gospel?
It includes forgiveness and love.
You shared that earlier, but yeah, it is, right? That's because that's one of the things that I've been thankful to my Lord for, is that he's been very forgiving and merciful to me. And I tell you what, you can't see a marriage. A marriage is a marriage where people can forgive and love and submit to each other. That is a beautiful place. The reason why we're laying this out and why it's important is our marriages reflect the covenant relationship that Jesus has with the church. That's really, as you read through Galatians, and that it's about all of that. It's about the covenant relationship that we have. We're just representing that to other people. And the reason I'm saying it here is because some people think you have to have a perfect marriage to be able to be good mentors. And I think you just have to show hope. What do you think? That seem right? I think it is. I think it is. And so the reality is marriage exposes our health in many ways. The health in a marriage, how can you give some examples of how would a marriage expose our health? How would it do that? Any ideas? What happens when a marriage is having struggle? Maybe think of it in the opposite. When a marriage is having struggle, what's not there?
Joy.
Joy? Yeah. Why would there be a struggle? I think this is the way it should be. She thinks this is the way it should be. You can go into the different elements of that. And the key is when a marriage struggles, a lot of times I would ask you this. If your marriage is struggling, and some of you have been married a while here, when your marriage has struggled, has it always worked to fix your spouse to make sure that they get it right? And when they get it right, we're going to be in a good place. Is that what it... So when we think of health, we're thinking about our spiritual health with our Lord, right? When we're in a good place, seems like our spouse is in a little better place. I don't know. I know I've had to work on Deb all the time, but it just, but it always comes back to me. All right. We can all use help processing through this exposure. And that's, so that's what happens with a young couple, especially somebody, when we've walked life a little while, we've learned some of the rough and tumbles and some of the sensitive areas. Arlen's going to talk about some of those sensitive areas, and he's going to lead you through that discussion. But marriage exposes things, huh? I mean, so can you think of anybody want to share something that marriage exposed in between you two? Anybody want to share that?
Selfishness.
Selfishness, yeah.
Just lack of communication.
Lack of communication, yeah. I think toothpaste. Squeeze it on the top or roll it up from the bottom. I mean, you know, I mean, it's those things that are just, some of us are a little OCD. So, but it's just, but if you look at my toothpaste, it's rolled up from the bottom. So, I know that's crazy. I've been in counseling for it, so.
It comes in different packaging now, and you don't have to roll.
Yeah, now you can pump it. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't stay rolled up, do they? They're plastic now.
Yeah, but I can. This one, I do. I have one right now. I'm rolling up, so. Sorry. It just, but there's differences, right, between us? And what this does, marriage exposes those differences. Because when we first get married, we're like, oh man, nothing's going to ever go wrong. You see these people come and they get engaged. And as an elder, Greg, you know it. They come in and it's like, wow, the world is great. We're engaged. We're going to get married. And then they get married and they're like, whoa, what in the world? Not always, but can get there. And you know what? That's when it's just, is this normal? And it's not even so much that it's normal, but is there hope? You know, it may not be something you even experience that they're experiencing, but can you give them the hope? You know, so anyways, interesting. This help doesn't have to be profound. It's so as you think of mentoring, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in mentoring young couples, talk to one of your ministers, talk to one of your elders, or just honestly, I tell you, one of the hardest things is for a young couple is to reach out to an older couple. They're just intimidated. And if you know of somebody that's getting engaged, that it's not a bad idea to have a little bit of an arm's length relationship. I mean, it's basically so that they can, but it's somebody that you feel like you can identify with. To reach it, to let them know that, hey, if you ever want to talk, doesn't have to be anything profound, but just offer. I'd encourage you to do that. It's really helpful to the elder, I can tell you. And it makes for, you think about it, right? Spiritual healthy individuals, spiritual healthy marriages, spiritual healthy churches, spiritual healthy communities. It basically gets into the Arlen's first slide there. So anyways, that being said, whoops, wrong way. Okay. So as you think of the mentoring model, it's really not too complex. It's really, really straightforward. Is first off, just recognizing that they're a young couple, or honestly, you don't even have to be a young couple. Just, there's times, even for Deb and I, there's times when I talk to others. We talk to others about our marriage. And because we mentor each other, right? We don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in isolation. So just recognizing and seeing, and then listening. We talked about that earlier, just listening. You'd be surprised how many people come to counseling or that just because they want to talk to somebody and they want somebody to listen to them. We do that. I can tell you that's one of the things for my wife and I she has to ask me, did you hear what I said? And but in a mentoring relationship, it's the same thing. And so it's just being there and just saying, hey, I hear what you're saying. You don't have to have the fix. That's what sometimes we think as a mentoring group, you know, do you... Anyways, so, and then look for something. Actually, it gets into this next slide. Look for something that says, hey, can I help in some way, right? So, I just ask you, what is a number one lesson you've learned in your marriage? Number one lesson that sticks out.
Give and take.
Give and take. Yeah. That's a pretty important one, right? So the words all over, submitting yourselves one to another. Yeah. What else? Number one lesson you've learned in marriage.
We pray together out loud every night.
Oh.
I think that has been one of the most significant lessons. I learned more about prayer, but I also feel like I really know her heart. And as, you know, it talks about your prayers being heard, that you'll be heirs of the grace of life together. And life isn't graceful. And when you hear your spouse pray through the ungraceful times of life, I think you know what's really going on in their hearts to help share that together. So I think the key, one of the lessons I've learned have been really what's taking place at our bedside at night.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I do wonder sometimes as men, we kind of, sometimes we pray for each other. And I mean, we try to pray things that sound good, or it's not that that's what our purpose is, but it kind of comes out that way. And that's, and I love it when my wife prays. It's a different prayer than me. Yeah. What else? Number one lesson you've learned in your marriage. Anything come out?
I think you already said it. The more I'm in the Word and focused, the more spiritual healthy I am, the better wife I can be, the better mom I can be, the better everything. So I think that I've really learned that affects every aspect of my life, not just me and the Lord, all my relationships, especially our marriage, because then I have more grace, I have more patience, I have more. But it's because of the Word, not because of me. The Spirit. And so I've learned that's a huge priority, is time in the Word.
Is there anything you would tell someone, if you were going to mentor somebody, that you would tell them not to do?
Don't think you have all the answers.
Yeah.
I would say never talk negative about your spouse or anybody.
Those are things, what you're just saying, those are things that they're just good, solid things that we need to encourage each other with. Truthfully, we need to encourage each other with as we mentor each other. Yeah. Don't ever say that you don't do it like my mom. That's not a real good one.
What if you're thanking her for that, though?
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Anybody? Any key teaching? I just an opportunity to share those here.
Well, when he said don't talk negative, I had a sister tell me, she's long gone, but she said, you know, when you're in a group, never ridicule or talk bad about your spouse, because why would you want that person to think you really married an idiot? You know, they're bad at this, but it really reflects back to me.
Yeah.
I was
stupid one or whatever, but I just remember early on, sometimes we had some potlucks, you know, some of the girls would say, my husband did this, you know, they were just negative things, and it was like, why?
Yeah.
And we just always made a pack, and I mean, we just never tried, you know, run the other one down, because what, they're not there to defend themselves, and it's just not a good thing.
Yeah. Cheap shot.
This would be a good reason to have you and I in different sessions so I could say something. And listen to your wife. She's
yeah.
Smarter than you are.
We'll split you up tomorrow. No, we're not. Oh, that's good. Any other number one lessons, key things that you've learned that you'd like to share? Anybody? So, just some practical things to think about. And I would just ask, as you think of, what do you think? So, we've got a little bit of a mix in here, so I'm going to have to phrase this somewhat correctly. What do you think that a couple that's looking to be mentored would look for in a mentor couple?
If they're happy together?
Yeah, if they're happy together. So joy, we heard about joy earlier.
Not talking negative about them.
Not, they don't talk negative about their spouse?
They talk negative about their spouse.
Yeah. What else? What other characteristics do you think that a couple that wants a mentor would look for?
Someone's been through some experiences.
So probably not somebody that everything is perfect, right? Somebody that is real. I would say they're looking for somebody that's real. Huh? What else would you look for in a mentor couple?
People that listen.
Yeah. I would say somebody that, at least this is what my wife looks for in me. So not always to fix it, but like you said, listen. Yeah. Maybe not critical or judging. Would that be something important for a, because there's a couple, to help someone, you've got to be able to hear. It gets into this listening, but you have to be able to hear, even though it may be difficult to hear. And that's one thing a counselor is. A counselor hears things, and an elder hears things a lot of times that are difficult to hear, right? You know that. You've heard difficult things. Some of you have been married a while. You've heard different things from your kids, right? That you hear things that you don't like. Now, I always try to fix it, but it's hard to hear it, right? And being able to hear that. Yeah. Anything else as you think of that as a couple?
I think we're going to try to pick a mentor that displays what you would define as success in that
yeah.
area, right? You're going to see a certain amount of success.
Yeah. They're going to have a marriage that's admired, right? In some way. So, spending time is probably, they say time is money. Spending time is important. To have time for someone. Ask questions, listening. Push towards these things to helping them, not so much to give them the answers, but to ask them, how would you do that differently? Or is there a way to do this? Or why is this happening? And causing them to asking them to think through it instead of giving the solution, right, as a mentor. It's really not so much giving them the solution, but helping them walk through that, yeah. So there are times when you may need to get other input. Somebody that's maybe got more experience in a certain area, or and you don't, as a mentor couple even, you don't want to what? You don't want to breach confidentiality. So this is important. And then the other thing is as you think of it, we used to call it, when I was in the trades, we used to call it PMs, but preventative maintenance. Think about preventative maintenance and basically how do you, so things don't go to disaster. What can a couple do to be preventative in thinking through that? So, all right, Arlen.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
One last point on this other one. I think sometimes too, there's a model that I think about when I think about mentoring in general. When you're working with someone in mentoring, it's a little bit how my 4-year-old approaches learning to swim. My 4-year-old does not jump into the deep end right away, right? I mean, he's a little bit leery of that, right? He knows he's kind of work his way up to it, at least as parents. I'm very glad he does this, right? And I think relationships are like that. You need to work into those relationships. Very unusual is the situation where you could sit down by someone at church lunch that you've hardly talked to, and they're going to spill their guts to you. That just isn't life, right? The reality is that you need to spend time investing in that relationship to build the rapport, that trust and intentionality, so that they will begin to know that you care, so that then they will begin to open themselves up to you. And for those of us that are fixers, that's really hard for us to do because it's a patient game and it's a marathon game. And the reality is you probably can't do that with 5 different couples at the same time. But that's the beauty of the body. If the body is engaged and if the body is encouraged, then each of us, there's a phrase out there I like to use. It's called each one teach one, right? Each couple teach another couple. Walk through life with them. Marathon through life with them. Build up that rapport. Ask those key questions. Show that they care. And let that begin to build and grow those relationships. The one thing I've seen kind of go wrong sometimes with mentoring is when we try to fix it too fast. And as Tim was saying so well, we try to tell them exactly what to do and say, get them to think about things and just realize we're here together and we're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. None of us are perfect. That's the gospel. That's the grace of the gospel that's so beautiful for us to talk through and to work through and to keep pushing ourselves on. So let me give you, in the few minutes we have remaining, I want to give you a lens to think about that we use at the counseling agency a lot is how do you view marriages. And then I'll show you just a couple of resources where you can dig deeper into our website. Or share with others to dig deeper into the website. So this you've maybe seen. It's a trifold triangle with 3 different sides. And it's the 3 sides of love in marriage. On the bottom, you've got the commitment love, the agape love, the self-sacrificing love of marriage. It's the bedrock kind of commitment to marriage. On this side, you've got the emotional intimacy, the friendship and the affection. The fact that you enjoy being together, you're friends with each other, you like talking with each other, that's the emotional intimacy. And then on this side, you have the passionate side, the romantic, the sexual love piece there. Okay? 3 different lenses or 3 different sides of a to look at for marriage. And you could build the argument that a healthy marriage has these 3 components in place. Just out of curiosity, in the counselor's experience, I'd ask them this question, and they would tell me this. What area do you think apostolics by nature struggle with the most? This is a generalization, so don't read too much into it, but it is an interesting thing to think about. Which area do you think they struggle with the most?
Probably the emotional.
Yeah. This one right here. The emotional intimacy. Yeah, commitment's usually really is ingrained into us, right? Usually you got pretty strong commitment. Passion can kind of wane a little bit. Sometimes these kind of drag each other down, but you kind of get this flattened out triangle. But it starts here. with this emotional intimacy. And you can see what happens, right? There's this, you know, my wife right now is talking about date nights and intentionality. That's her topic, right over, across the way. And there's this easiness that happens when someone gets married, right? You're excited, you're in love with each other, it's all, going to be easy and good. And then over time, as Tim kind of said, then suddenly life starts to hit and it gets busy. And then maybe the kids come around and you don't have as much time for each other and you're tired all the time. And then life throws you a curveball and then another curveball. And what usually starts to pass, to disappear, is this. And then that can affect this, and then it can eventually affect that. So, generalization, but something to think about. And what I want you to, let's just take a little bit of time here, and I want you, on your notepad there, I want you to think about a question. What is one question, if you were with a couple, and you've built the rapport, and you're sitting down at dinner in a restaurant, and you're just talking about life, what is a question you could ask in each of these sides of this triangle, each of these quadrants? Just write something down. Take a minute or so. You got some time. Take a minute or so and write something down that would be a question you could ask for emotional intimacy, a question you could ask for passion, a question you could ask for commitment. Just to kind of gauge where they're at. So let's share out. I know maybe it didn't go all the way through of them, but give me a question you'd ask for commitment. Self-sacrificing love. How would you gauge whether that couple is sacrificing for each other? What's a question you could ask? Maybe you didn't start with that one. What's a question?
I've been to a wedding before where the couple promised each other that they would never divorce on their wedding day.
Okay.
I don't often hear that, but to me, that is...
committed to each other, they never divorce? What would you do just in the moment as you're having a dinner conversation with someone? What was the question you could ask? Yeah.
What's something you've given up or changed because of your spouse? Maybe they didn't like you smoking or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. What is something that you have given up or changed for your spouse? Tell me the last thing you gave up for your spouse. Great question. Any others? What about the emotional intimacy one? Emotional intimacy one.
Who's your best friend?
It's a great question. And ideally, hopefully, right? They're going to say your spouse, right? And if not, that's a great question then to follow up on. Someone else is going to say something over here.
I was just going to say, are you friends?
Yeah. You know what the statistics say, the researchers say? The average couple spends less than 5 minutes talking about non-logistical things every day. You've maybe heard that before. Less than 5 minutes talking about non-logistical things, right? It's always about what's going on here, there, whatever like that, right? And it's not just like we started something at our dinner table. It's as much for the kids, but actually it's been a real blessing for us too. But we just ask around dinner, we just say, okay, what's your high for the day and what's your low for the day? Right? And we try to ask the kids to go around, right? And Katie and I do it too. What's your high for the day? What's your low for the day? That's a good little, how-to skill to pass on, to someone else. Any other questions you could ask a spouse?
How and when do you connect each day?
Yeah, great question. What does it look like? How and when do you connect each day? What does that look like? Who do you trust the most?
Are you giving the other time and energy without distractions?
Yeah. Are you giving your spouse time and energy without distraction? Tell me when you're doing that, right? Especially, sometimes in these settings, right, you can imagine, right, maybe you're meeting with one spouse and your spouse is meeting with the other spouse, right? And it's a real opportunity to kind of turn the dial just a little bit after you've built up the rapport and such. What about the passion side? What about the passion side? Struggled a little bit myself to come up with a question for this one. I said, I'd ask him, when was the last time you held your spouse's hand? Right? We can jump to the idea that passion is on the sexual side there, but what about just the grabbing your spouse's hand as you're walking to the car, or walking in town or whatever? Other questions on that one you may be thought of? Do you tell your spouse you love them every day? You tell them they're beautiful in the kitchen. I love it. So anyway, just one lens, okay? This is one lens that if you were asked to go into this role, or if you felt the Spirit nudging you to go into this role of engaging in someone else's life, you know, it's a great gauge to kind of just listen. What are you hearing? You know, what are you hearing? How's the commitment? How's the intimacy? How's the passion side? Last thing, kind of just to, and then we're going to be very open for questions you might have as they kind of, I think they're wrapping up too, but just, we have tried to be purposeful on our website to try to have resources available for mentors. And if you go to our website right now, and this should be live here, you'll find a section, that's the address right there, /buildingupmarriages or /marriage mentoring. We'll bring it up too. But if you go to it in this, what we call a community section, there's one section just on marriages. And we've tried to put all of the resources there that could be helpful for someone if you find yourself in a marriage mentoring relationship. And they're divided in three different categories. You've got laying the foundation for those who are maybe, you know, newly married or starting marriage. Accountability questions for engaged couples. A worksheet to walk through with somebody who's newly married to ask good questions, that kind of thing. Here's strengthening the relationship. This is for those who maybe are doing okay, but just enrichment type thing. These discussion aids right here, great resource that is a series of topical questions, a couple scriptures to talk through with a couple, and some questions to ask them about how they're doing. Keys to a Healthy Marriage is a Bible study that we wrote at ACCFS. The counselors worked together and wrote a Bible study that brings out the high points of what is important in marriage, different topics. And it's got things to talk through. It's got questions to discuss. It's got an activity that they can do and take home and really kind of dig deep. We try to give you talking points to use if you are, working with someone. And at the bottom part is working through difficulty. These are going to ratchet up just a little bit if you find yourself with a couple that is in some difficult times. And as Tim had kind of said in the earlier slide too, there are times when you might be called to be in a relationship with someone, with a couple that's going through really tough times. And one of the important things is to know kind of, hey, this is beyond my help. Where do I go from here, right? And obviously ACCFS is available to call, minister, elders, you know, some of the other, you know, other couples that maybe been through things you can talk through with them. But that is an important piece to realize kind of, okay, it's time to elevate. Not leave the couple and say, you know what, I'm done with you. Just say, you know what, let's get somebody else in here too to kind of help and walk through this together. So, I want to encourage you. These resources are there. We update them regularly. We add and to them and that kind of thing. But they're all meant in the way to help those who are helping others in their marriages. So let me leave with one thought, and then we'll be available to ask questions, answer questions, anything like that. I guess I just want to leave you and encourage you to be challenged to think about the diagram over here, right? How do we move ourselves, if we need to move ourselves, and even more importantly, play a role in moving our churches and those around us to this world where those relationships are healthy, they are strong, we're invested in each other, and we are members one of another, as the scripture calls us to, encouraging each other and building each other up. It's a great opportunity. It's what God calls us to. It's countercultural, but it's what God calls us to. And so God bless you for being here and for taking time to listen and learn together. And wish you God's blessings as you continue. throughout this weekend and further on.